Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flesh in the Pan, Britney Spears needs to crack a window. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flesh in the Pan. Flesh in the Pan. And welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
I'm Tom.
I'm Alex.
Flash in the Pan is the podcast where we're going to take you back to the past to watch some Macromedia Flash. We'd rather have a buffalo take... Oh, wait, hold on. That's someone
else
as well.
That one's been taken.
Has
it? Done that one. Yeah.
That might be why it was in the back of my mind.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
We are continuing our short series on your first ever Flash animations. Mm-hmm. We solicited some emails, asked you to write in and tell us what your first exposure to Flash was, what your first exposure to online animation stuff,
mm-hmm.
and we got enough to make two whole episodes out of it so far.
Unbelievable.
And we are going to be starting with something incredibly childish. This was sent in by Matt, who you may remember from the last episode. Matt previously sent us Weeble Stuff Badgers,
yes.
Which was a tour de force.
Yes.
And now we're going to look at something pretty different,
mm-hmm.
but also something very of its time,
mm-hmm.
Because this is Jerry Jackson's Linkin Park Came to My House.
One day I was in my room listening to my Linkin Park CDs, and my mum came in, she said, Jerry, Linkin Park rules, but you have to turn it down, cause your grandpa is trying to sleep. My grandpa is 89 years old, and he is nearly dead.
So you were corpsing the entire time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because there is something, and there's nothing against people who've got that accent,
mm-hmm.
but there is just something inherently funny about saying things in that accent.
In a pitch-shifted Yorkshire accent?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, just in a Yorkshire accent in general.
Okay.
There was just something. It's like the Newcastle accent and the Scottish accent. They're just inherently funny.
Are you saying that all of our Scottish listeners inherently sound ridiculous?
No, I'm not saying they sound ridiculous. It's just that it doesn't matter what they say, it's funny.
Okay.
I'm not saying they sound daft. I'm saying... they could tell, like, you know, the most standard joke ever, like, why did the chicken cross the road? And if he did it in a Scottish accent, it would be fucking amazing.
Okay. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
All of our listeners can get a hold of Alex at her Twitter handle at Dex01. That's DEX01. I think the voice acting in this is very good.
It's so good. It's spot on.
So tell us about Jerry Jackson. From what you can glean from that video.
He likes Linkin Park.
Oh, yes.
He makes animations on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't seem to really understand what it is he does.
Right.
Some of them accuse him of lying. he has aspirations to be in a band when he grows up.
Yep.
His
mum likes Linkin Park.
His mum likes Linkin Park. His granddad is... 89 years old.
And nearly dead.
And nearly dead.
So his grandpa, according to the animation, looks like Heihachi from Tekken.
I was immediately enamoured by the, my grandpa is 89 years old. immediately. I was like, okay, this is good. There was one part that wasn't good.
Yes. Which is, pretty obviously not great, where there's a picture of Dr. Dre, and Dr. Dre looks like a racist cartoon from the 20s.
Yes, he does.
That's fun.
That's, once again, racism strikes.
I mean, again, it is hard to avoid in a lot of Newgrounds stuff. How ironic do you think that portrayal was?
I hope it was 100%.
Yes.
I really do.
How old do you think Jerry Jackson was when this was made?
Anywhere between 16 and 20.
Okay, that's fair. Jerry Jackson is a fake person.
Okay.
As you might be able to tell,
yeah.
This is a very broad parody of over-enthusiastic preteens / young teens.
from the United Kingdom.
Especially from the United Kingdom, yeah. The fact that Linkin Park and Korn are the posters on his walls in 2005 for an angsty youngin who sometimes he thinks is the only one that understands and thinks about the lyrics deeply, although I suppose other people do too.
I think that on a frequent basis.
What, about Linkin Park or just about music in general?
Yeah, but I'm the only one that listens to music deeply. It's me.
I am the only person who noticed this thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty endearing.
Yeah,
It is a pretty good, like, the mindset of being, you know, young and impressionable.
And from Yorkshire.
And wanting to be popular. I like, right at the end, there's a plea. Linkin Park, please remember to put me in your next music video. You said you would.
Yeah.
I like there are a couple of, like, genuinely good jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, when he's watching MASH with his friend. Like, I like the idea of, like, this grumpy 12-year-old coming down out of his bedroom, like, after blasting Meteora. And then sitting down with his friend to watch MASH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, MASH wasn't relevant.
No.
Then.
But it was on telly.
It was on telly.
Yeah. And his friend says that he likes adverts. And that's the funniest thing ever.
That is pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you were 15 and you're watching TV and your friend told you, like, oh, I think the best bit's the adverts, you would piss yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd piss myself now if someone did that. Like, oh, that's my favourite part of the internet is all the adverts.
I'd be concerned. Like, that to me speaks of someone who doesn't seem to get a lot of pleasure out of things. Or gets, like, an unreasonable amount of pleasure out of things. The one good thing to come out of the unfortunate Dr. Dre drawing is just the statement, I don't need drugs, I get high of life. Which is just really, which is exactly the kind of thing that you will be told in school.
Yeah.
To say to any, like, disreputable teen or grown up who offered you drugs. Like, I still have vivid memories of, like, all of us gathering in, like, the assembly room to be shown, like, slideshows of, like, this is what can happen to you if you take an ecstasy. Some really bored looking policeman.
Yes. I had that experience. Thing is, though, by the time that started happening in high school...
You were already high off your tits?
No, it's the other way around. I'd already been put way off ever trying any kind of illegal substance because my mum detailed to me an account of when she did a hallucinogenic drug.
Whoa.
And she said, it was the worst thing ever. There were faces coming out of the walls. And I was like, cool, mental note, never do drugs.
Ah, your mum's cooler than I thought.
I know, yeah.
Before we move on, I had to ask, at your school, was there also the urban legend that during one of these drug warning things, like a policeman like handed out two joints and said, pass them around the room, but I won them back at the end of the class. And at the end of the class, they got handed back and there was an extra joint.
Oh.
Because that is an urban legend that I heard at two separate schools.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that was a thing that that quite reached my area.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, there
was stuff like that, which I don't rightly remember at the moment, but yeah.
In the wilds of deepest Kent, that story was like, oh my gosh, did you hear? Whoa! I know, right? Teens.
And, the only thing I heard at my school was that, like, one group of people from a year below was going to go and beat up another group from the same year of a different school.
Oh. Did it happen? Did you get to watch?
No, because I stayed the fuck away.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was like, nah.
So you had, like, a proper rival school thing going on?
Yeah, but, like, the other school was, like, really far away. It was really funny. It was like a full, like 3 or 4 miles away.
All right. Okay. Here's the plan. After school, me, Gaz, Baz, Jerry, and Samantha, we're going to get on the bus and we're going to ride all the way to the other end of town.
They've all gone home. Oh, the one thing that did go around my school was that one of the teachers was an alcoholic.
Right. Well, that's a great way to pivot into learning something about the origins of Jerry Jackson.
Uh-huh.
In a section that we call, of course, Flash. So, I'm going to ask you a question, and you probably will get it right.
Okay.
Jerry Jackson is a character created by a very well-known online video producer and comedy person. Can you guess who it is?
Is it David Firth?
It is David Firth of FatPie.com.
Yeah.
We haven't covered David Firth yet, because he is one of these ridiculously prolific internet animators who's been doing stuff since the turn of the millennium, and is still doing stuff now in Flash, in other animation programs.
He's worked on the BBC.
He has been on the BBC. He's been on telly. He's done music videos, and he does short films and all this kind of stuff. And Jerry Jackson was a character that he created in the early 2000s as basically a parody of, you know, like an overexcited, oversharing teenage newgrounder.
God.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. If you look it up, there's some pretty unsavory content.
That's not.
And it's all in this very choppy, very scruffy My First Flash animation style. And it's all. I looked at a couple other ones, and it's all narrated in exactly the same way.
Good.
And some of it's pretty good. Some of it's just dreadful. But you can see where he's coming from in terms of the dreadfulness.
Yeah.
Like, not that it makes it more palatable, which it doesn't, but, you know.
Please stop scrolling up to that. That's stop it. Yeah. Oh, that's, actually upsetting.
Okay. Okay, I will stop scrolling after that. But yeah, the Jerry Jackson website still exists, and it does have flame GIFs on the side of it.
Excellent.
So you know that it's an authentic early website design.
Legit. I wish I could put flame GIFs on, my Twitter profile or something.
Yeah, I know, right?
Really, Twitter needs to get with it.
So on the website, on the Jerry Jackson page, there is an informative video that tells you that the website took him 140 days to make because he programmed it, quote, in Xbox code. And
excellent.
Yeah, it's just a great little. We keep saying it, but time capsule. This is what it meant for David Firth, and clearly a lot of other people, given how popular it was.
Yeah.
This is what it meant to be an impressionable teen in the early aughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Being one. Yes.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
David Firth, like we said, massively prolific. We will be getting onto some of his other projects in future. But yeah, he makes a lot of strange and unpleasant and wonderful and horrifying, genuinely horrifying.
Genuinely, actually upsetting.
Yes. And I think Jerry Jackson is among the least upsetting.
Yeah, it's fairly tame as far as David Firth goes.
But that's the origin. That's the secret origins of David Firth.
I should have guessed, really.
Just from the accent.
Yeah, the Yorkshire accent is. Does he actually have one, David Firth?
David Firth does have a Yorkshire accent,
right,
yes.
I'll explain it.
Yeah. That he's from around there, right, at least. But yeah, so for a little palate cleanser, should we get on to some comments?
Oh yeah, go on.
Now, I've only got a couple, because most of the comments of this come in two categories. Either people thinking that Jerry Jackson is real, and so saying stuff like this.
Spoiler 911, just last year said, "I'm sorry, but I did not enjoy this. The sound quality is very low, and the animation is minimalistic. No stars."
Thank you for doing it in accents as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure that Spoiler911 has that exact voice.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But also you get comments like this one, which completely buy into the conceit. And tell you what, you can do this as well, in the same completely authentic Yorkshire accent. Yeah. Again, you can contact Alex about her accent work on her Twitter, which we'll be giving out at the end of the show.
Yeah. Hengen, September 10th, 2005. Cool. Linkin Park is my favourite band as well. Lol, I love this film. Hope there isn't too many people blaming it, but I don't believe that Linkin Park came to your house, Peck House. That would be unfair. Good luck with the movie.
And people find that review helpful. that 5-star review in character. Okay, and I'm going to get you to look away again, right, because I don't want you to spoil yourself. Uh-huh. One of my favourite comments is, again, it's from last year, it's from July 2017, by a Cryono77, who gave it 5 stars, and he says, "You know his granddad's dead by now. Sad face."
Oh, dear. Yes, by the year 2017, considering this is, like, a good 10 years.
12 years.
12 yeah. years, unless he actually lived to, like, 100. Probably, if Jerry Jackson's grandfather was a real person,
mm-hmm.
would probably, maybe not have made it.
R.I.P. Jerry Jackson's grandpa.
RIP.
Yep. But yeah, so that's Linkin Park came to my house, and it's fucking stupid. It's so silly, but yeah, and obviously, R.I.P. Jerry Jackson's grandpa, R.I.P. Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, because honestly, I was and still am a massive fan of Linkin Park and the music. I would have loved for them to come to my house.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
As I said, being a teen from like the early aughts, like, I wasn't massively into Linkin Park,
mm-hmm.
but I knew enough songs by Linkin Park for them to have had, like, an effect on me.
Just from osmosis.
Yeah, and I know, like, all the words to In the End.
Of
all
course.
Or every single fucking word. I haven't listened to that song in, like, 2 years, but I know it. I know if it came on, I would know every single word.
Yeah.
And it is, like, a colossal shame.
Yes. So, after that downer beginning to the episode, we have something very different, but also not that different.
Hmm.
So our next suggestion comes from Daniel. Daniel writes in and says, "Hi, I've been enjoying this podcast a lot. Revisiting old favourites and finding old new things that slipped my notice has been a lot of fun. My memory has some holes in it, so I can't say for certain what the very first Flash cartoon I watched was. But to the best of my memory, it was a promotional Bionicle short cartoon, meant to look like an in-universe propaganda video from around 2004 or 2005.
Wow.
So Bionicle, for those who don't know, was they were action figures,
yeah,
but made of simple Lego Technic.
Yeah, I had a ton of them.
I had like at least a dozen, probably more than that.
Yeah.
And they went on adventures,
yes,
and they had special masks, and they all had elemental powers, and there were, I believe, 4 films?
Yes. Yes, there were.
I've seen 2 of them. They are tolerable.
At one point, I did combine, like, all of my Bionicles into, like, a really big one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could. There were instructions for that. Yeah, you combine them together. But yeah, Bionicle was brilliant. Unfortunately, according to Daniel, he has not been able to find...
That's a shame.
Archives of these on the site. Again, he also says that... he spent a lot of his online time in his early years on promotional websites for cartoons,
yeah,
and books and so on.
Yeah.
You know, the Cartoon Network website,
yeah,
the Nickelodeon website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, Popsicle. Apparently, there was an American Popsicle brand website that had Flash animations or games or something.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I don't know. But there were a lot of websites that were in adverts or like advertised on the packaging for toys and so on.
Yes.
Like, I remember going to the Bionicle website and there you could like click around and explore the island they lived on.
Yeah.
And that kind of
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he mentions that sadly the fan archival site dedicated to Bionicle content, which is the Biomedia Project, doesn't seem to have the animations available. So he has a backup for us. And this backup is pretty intense and it's going to be pretty long. But by all accounts, it's going to be a heck of a ride, because he recommends Sonic Nazo Unleashed. Can you see all of me? Walk into my mystery. Step inside, hold on for dear life.
was incredible.
That was incredible. That was everything I could have wanted from a Sonic Dragon Ball Z. From Goku the Hedgehog.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, wow. How had I not heard of this before?
I don't know.
I mean, I've never been part of the Sonic fandom.
No, yeah.
I was never a Sega or a Mega Drive child growing up.
No.
So maybe this just wasn't on my radar, but, like, this has got so much going on.
Yeah.
And it's so ambitious.
Yeah, and, I think he pretty much pulls off everything he's trying to achieve with the limited tools at his disposal at the time anyway.
Oh, yeah. And, like, you can tell. So we watched all three parts in a row. Yeah. And we'll be linking all three parts, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like, this is... it's properly epic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Like this is the kind of ambition that you got in, like, Perfect Kirby 3. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the later Bitey of Brackenwood stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that this is someone who is... really honing their animation craft.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell from each part, from part one to part two to part three, everything improves every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like from the voice acting to the voice editing. So like there's something I didn't realize until the second part is that not only are all of the characters apart from Nazo,
mm-hmm.
as we found out, but not only are all of the official characters' voice lines taken from the games, but bits of them are spliced together to make new voice lines, which is so resourceful.
Yeah.
And which only occasionally sounds really stupid.
Yeah. You do what you can with what you got.
Do you want to do the plot summary? You're good at plot summaries.
The plot summary is that, like, there's, like, at this point, Shadow's not the evil one. Really, there's like an evil hedgehog that comes out of the Chaos Emeralds.
He's born from the negative energy inside the Chaos Emeralds,
and he crashes Angel Island,
where
Knuckles lives, and then he's like, "I'm gonna blow up the Earth," and then Sonic's like, "No, don't do that."
Okay,
and he tries to stop him, but. He can't do it on his own, and then Shadow joins in.
Yes.
Tails
gets killed.
Tails dies and then comes back.
Well, Knuckles brings Tails back to life.
Which is not something I knew Knuckles could
do. No, apparently Knuckles has healing powers.
Knuckles is a healer.
Which again, but again, like, that is also a Dragon Ball Z thing, because that's what the young Namekian Day-in-Day can do.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. There's an evil one. Sonic can't do it on his own, teams with Shadow.
And eventually fuses with Shadow.
Yeah, and fuses with Shadow, which I saw coming, but it was still really cool.
Yeah, and everything looks just like it does in Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
From the shading of the actual animation itself to the way that... And, like, I have a small theory that Flash as a program and the way the Flash works... is really well suited to this kind of energy battle.
Yeah.
Because it is really easy to manipulate these basic shapes and to flicker and to you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's easy to draw a line of energy mm-hmm. coming from one thing to another and make it look cool and give it that gradient glow.
Mm.
And that is really well exploited here, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's just so good. It's just very good.
It is, like, if you... I mean, were you much of a Dragon Ball person growing up?
I mean, I was aware of Dragon Ball, and I caught it once or twice on television. I caught an episode of, like, Dragon Ball... The original Dragon Ball.
Really?
I think so, yeah. And much later on, saw an episode of Dragon Ball Z and didn't realize they were like... Well, I kind of put two and two together. I'm like, oh, it's the same series, but he's older.
Okay.
The main character's older. But I knew it was a thing that I knew people talked about online a lot. And several people recommended me to watch it after I started actually like getting into anime when I was like 15.
Yeah.
Because I watched Full Metal Alchemist. That was my first anime.
Wow. Okay.
I watched Evangelion, and something else which I don't. It's probably something kind of trash actually after that. But
Fruits Basket.
Maybe something crap like that.
Inuyasha.
I wasn't Inuyasha. Inuyasha's all right.
Inuyasha's
actually okay.
So Inuyasha is relevant because one of the people thanked in the credits for this
Inuyasha
does go by the name Kagome.
Yeah.
Which was a very common online handle for anime-liking girls in the early 2000s because Kagome is one of the main characters of Inuyasha.
Dragon Ball is really fucking good. I've watched a lot of it now.
Okay.
I really like it a lot. It's so fucking good.
So I basically grew up with Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
From the age of about 8 when I saw it on telly in a hotel we were staying at when we were on holiday. From then I have seen every episode of Dragon Ball Z at least twice. I watched all of GT when it was airing on Cartoon Network UK. Dragon Ball GT is dreadful, but I watched all of it.
Yeah. It's got like some really weird premise where Goku goes back to being a kid, doesn't
Goku
it?
Turns into a child again, yeah. And the Dragon Balls, which are the Chaos Emeralds of the Dragon Ball world, are scattered across... basically, they have to go into space and look across the whole galaxy for the cosmic Dragon Balls, which will have enough power to put things right.
Right, okay.
And so it becomes like a huge space road trip thing and then descends into a generic power creep Dragon Ball fight, and there are nuggets of things like this is a whole other podcast, right? But
yeah.
it could have been really good, but you could tell, like, even as a 13-year-old I could tell that the creators' hearts were not in it anymore.
Well, I hear Dragon Ball Super is really good.
Dragon Ball Super takes a while to get going, but it's pretty fun. Yeah,
I should get into it.
Yeah. But there are a couple of fight scenes which are not as good as Sonic Nazo Unleashed.
Wow.
But there are some which are actually really cool.
Pulling it back to the thing we're actually supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, well, one thing I like about this a lot is that Sonic has always been a Dragon Ball pastiche.
Always, yeah. Like, from Sonic the Hedgehog 2, pretty much.
Well, Super Sonic, like, turning blonde and getting spiky hair, that's a Super Saiyan thing.
Yeah.
Collecting the 7 mystic things, that's the Dragon Balls.
Yeah. And yet people always seem to complain when people like make stuff like this, like Dragon Ball Sonic stuff.
It's because they're making the subtext text.
Yeah, but like subtext is for cowards.
Yes, to quote the great Garth Marenghi, yeah. I know a lot of writers who use subtext and they're all cowards.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Sonic the Hedgehog has been a Dragon Ball pastiche for as long as it's existed. Right down to the corny music, you know?
Yeah, the corny music, you got the... Especially, because in the Japanese version of Dragon Ball Z, they didn't really have the chuggy guitars or anything. That was something they added for the American dub.
Yes.
Which I think improves everything.
I can only agree, yes. Some people will disagree.
Yeah.
Also, you are wrong.
Also, just like in Dragon Ball, like, a lot of Sonic's enemies become his friends after they do a
fight. Yeah.
You know, like, Knuckles is the Piccolo of the saga, for instance.
Yeah.
Sonic is very much the Vegeta.
Shadow, I think you mean. Sonic.
Yeah, no. Sonic is Goku.
So Sonic is Sonic. Goku. Tails is like Krillin.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Tails is absolutely Krillin. And so in this they do everything you'd expect from a Dragon Ball Z arc, because this is basically a Dragon Ball Z arc compressed to about 40 minutes in total. You've got the power levels rising, you've got transformations indicating, aha, I'm stronger now.
Yeah.
I thought you were dead. Actually, I was just resting. Whoop-ha! Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you got, like, the final fusion. And then you've got, like, okay, let's take this fight to space. You're like, energy blasts that you can see from the upper atmosphere.
Like, at one point, Sonic, like, destroys what looks like most of North America.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So, like, right at the end, after they do the big fight in space, and, like, Nazo gets, like, punched back down to Earth, he definitely lands, I think, in Delaware.
Yeah. Oh, it's... Yeah.
The anime wasteland of Delaware. It's an absolute joy. Mm. We were both like grinning like
it's
fools.
So good. Like the and one thing I really liked a lot is that like the animator took cues from the music. Like some of the stuff is like in sync. With, like, it's on the beat with music.
Especially in the finale, the audio design is so well edited and cut to the action, and the action is cut to the music really well. Like the music swells and then it cuts out, then it punches back in again.
Exactly. Like, that's like a really easy way to please me as an editor, because it always winds me up when people like don't take advantage of that.
Yes.
When it's such an easy thing to do.
Does it also annoy you when there's a really strong piece of music playing in the background and something rhythmic is happening on screen but they don't line up?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yes. Which is why even the credits in this.
Yeah.
Like, not just the credits, but like the final attack when he's summoning all the rings and so on. Like the light comes back to the Chaos Emeralds in time with the music and that kind of. It's just I am a sucker for this.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So there was one thing which isn't so much like it's not so much something that comes from this animation. It's just more of like Shadow's character.
Yes.
But like when they're lying in the hole, and Sonic's thinking of like all his friends. And then it cuts to Shadow, and I was like, in my head going, oh my god, what if he just thinks about a gun?
Yes, I do love... Okay, so this is set... So, two things about Shadow. First of all, this is set 4 months after the Shadow the Hedgehog game.
Wow, but which ending?
One of them. Okay, so in any of the endings of Shadow the Hedgehog, because I don't know, but... So Shadow the Hedgehog was a 2005 game with Shadow the Hedgehog. He drives motorbikes and has guns. Shadow does have a gun in this.
He does.
Though it doesn't do much good. But Shadow does pull a gun, and it's just like a regular looking pistol. And that really tickled me. But also, right near the start, Shadow hears Sonic's name on the radio, and he says, Sonic, why does that name make me irritated or something like that. It's like, what?
Why does that bother me?
Yeah, why does that name bother me? It's like, wait, Shadow, like, you spent an entire game with Sonic, like, shouting at you now and then to do good things.
Yeah.
Does he get, like, re-brainwashed or lose his memory at any point in Shadow the Hedgehog?
I don't know.
If you do know, please write in. Because we need to get this straight.
We need somebody who's well-versed in Sonic the Hedgehog lore.
Sonic the Hedgehog, if you're listening, please write in.
Yuji Naka, please. Yeah. We need the facts.
Yeah, it's... So, what more can we say about Sonic Nazo Unleashed?
So, I know this isn't the first thing that Daniel I actually watched. But, I mean, as an early thing to have witnessed... on Newgrounds, this is pretty fucking good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this really like demonstrates the potential of what a fan project can be.
Yeah.
Because it's always topping itself.
Do you know what this is infinitely better than?
What is this that infinitely better
fucking
than?
Awful fan-made live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie from like 2012, 13... somewhere around there.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
They got Jaleel White back to play Sonic and like.
I never saw that.
Doug Walker's in it for like a scene.
Oh my goodness!
For some reason, like, you didn't see that?
No, I don't think I ever did.
Oh my fucking god! It's so fucking bad. It's awful.
Well, at least I hope they had fun making it.
I think they did.
I mean, I hope that Chakra X... Oh, we have to mention that with each part, Chakra X's logo gets, like, 10 times better.
Yeah.
And in the third one, even has, like, a Futurama sound clip of Bender saying the X makes, makes it sound, sound cool.
This is a really good fan-made Sonic the Hedgehog thing. That's the one thing about the Sonic fandom, is that they are just so passionate, and it's just, this is the kind of stuff that they come out with, you know? Even like years and years ago, 2007, like, they always like come out with like some of like the coolest stuff. And even as someone that doesn't, I like Sonic, but I'm kind of like, I kind of appreciate Sonic from the viewpoint of like, I don't take it seriously. Like, I just, you know, I'm there for the experience, but like, I'm not like passionate about it, you know?
You're not going to be reading Sonic fanfic.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, yeah.
You don't have a Sonic Sona.
No, like, I really enjoyed, Sonic Forces.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly just for how silly it was, you know? Yes. Like, but you know, I can imagine an actual Sonic fan being like, oh, this kind of sucks, you know?
I don't know. I think if you are the kind of age where something like Sonic Narzo Unleashed would be really influential, I think that Sonic Forces perfectly captures that kind of importance that like, an adolescent Sonic fan would put into it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Sonic Forces, to me, is like an amazing game representation of the tone of a Sonic fanfic,
you
or a Sonic fan animation like
you
this.
You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I'm probably not the first person to say
no,
that.
No, but like, I think you're right. I wouldn't say I'm like a mega fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm definitely more of a fan of Sonic the Hedgehog than I would have readily admitted like a few years ago. But this is just great. And the Sonic fandom always comes through with like amazing stuff. Always.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. So you did some research on the creator of this, Chakra X.
Chakra X.
Do you think it's time for some Flash?
Yes. It is time for some information about Chakra X. So, Chakra X is an American animator from Philadelphia.
Okay.
First joined Newgrounds in 2003. Primarily is made video game / pop culture animations, mostly involving Sonic the Hedgehog. His early work was sprite movies. So the first few things he uploaded in 2003 were like sprite movies and stuff.
Okay.
Until 2004, when he started doing like hand-drawn stuff. And he's continued posting on Newgrounds, with his most recent animation actually being uploaded in March this year.
March of 2018.
March of 2018.
Crikey. Is that also a Sonic the Hedgehog video?
It isn't. It's, I think it's some kind of trailer or some kind of promotional thing that he made. Yeah, there it is. It's a fighting game that I think he's involved with somehow. Yeah, so in May 2015, Chakra uploaded a video of himself onto YouTube talking about crowdfunding a sequel to Narzo Unleashed.
Ooh.
And it looks like, from having a cursory glance at his YouTube channel, that he's been working on it ever since, with a trailer for Wrath of Narzo being uploaded this year, with him saying in the description, "Storyboarding is complete. I have begun animation on Act 1, but as many of you know, the film will not be coming out next year anymore. I don't have any new estimate release dates, so I'll be updating you guys on that the farther I get into animation."
I'm excited.
So Sonic Narzo Unleashed is something that has existed for like over 10 years now, and looks like it will continue because there is a big community behind this.
Yeah, I mean, like, part 3 of this alone on Newgrounds got 1.5 million views.
Yeah.
And counting.
Yeah.
I don't imagine it's going to lose any momentum.
I don't know if the crowdfunding campaign actually, like, went forward, or he's just working on it, like, on his own, but either way, he's working on it, like, now, as we speak. And it could come out at any point between next year or the year after.
Nice.
Which is...
good news.
Really cool. It's always cool when we find someone who's like...
still working on their project now.
Yeah.
And, he is our age.
Yes, he is.
Which means that when he made Sonic and Knuckles Unleashed, he was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
Like, that shit's impressive.
That's impressive for that age, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, well done, Chakra X.
Well done to Chakra X.
Yeah, you put a big smile on our faces. Yeah. Should we see who else reacted positively or negatively?
Oh, go on then.
Okay, so we got quite a lot of comments because this is pretty big. But yes. Let's start with NicoYa415, back when the first part was released, said, I shit my pants. That was awesome. But you took most of the voices from Sonic games. ... Well, whatever, still awesome.
Insane Angel, also on the day this came out. Dude, that movie was the best Flash I'd ever seen. Man, you'd done an incredible movie. Thanks for killing Tails. I loved that scene.
Oh, little did Insane Angel know that Knuckles would bring him back.
Someone's got a serious beef with Tails, like...
Yeah. Tesseract.
Yes.
Said, in April 2008, lol, the voices sucked. Why didn't you record them yourself or get a voice actor or something? Seriously, they kind of ruined it.
He did. He did. He got a voice actor. And correct me if I'm wrong, but all the people present in the Sonic Adventure and Sonic Heroes games are voice actors.
Professional ones, in that they got paid for their work in Sonic Adventure and Sonic Heroes. Ooh, yeah.
See, one thing, Omar Don, who voiced Nazo,
yes,
I'm fairly certain that he voice acted for, like, Dust and Elysian Tale.
So, Omar Don, real name Edwin Tiong. His voiceover demo reel includes Dragon Age Origin, King's Quest III Redux, Dust and Elysian Tale. So, like, this is a guy who voiced Nazo and went on to become, like, a legit voice actor.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
So there's this comment by Three Mora from 2015. Simply, it's just three words. And it says... image Sonic cool.
Yep.
So I hope that what actually is happening here is that Three Mora was trying to type into a search engine image Sonic cool so that they could find cool images of Sonic the Hedgehog.
They accidentally commented on Newgrounds instead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do see that sometimes, like you know, like a grandparent on Facebook, like, accidentally typing in, you know, best lawnmower prices, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
So...
oh, so those comments were from part one.
Yeah, and we got some from part three as well, just for... and this one is just genuinely sweet.
Yeah, Rules A Power from last year, February. God, why have I cried watching this, even though I've seen it many times already? Was it some kind of strong nostalgia? Dude, I can't believe it, lol. Anyways, I decided all of a sudden to drop by here and watching this series again to make it the... can't even count how many times I've already watched this, lol. You should continue the series one day. Chakra X, I'm quite sure it'd be an amazing job, just like this one was. Aw.
That's really sweet.
And well...
yeah.
He's working on it.
Yeah, it looks like Rules 8 Power is going to get their wish.
Yeah.
Will Taro, back when Part 3 came out, said, not bad. It could use some different words like fuck or shit or whore. And Chakra X responded to that saying, oh shit, Nazo, we're going to destroy you, you whore. Fuck yeah. It doesn't work.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, so like Chakra X actually responded to a lot of the comments.
Yeah.
And, like, is generally pretty chill.
Yeah.
Like, even for negative comments, like, he'll respond and be just, like, pleasant about it.
Yeah. Paul Enho, 0987654321, April 30th, 2008. Good, but...
no stars as well.
This is good, but nothing special. It had no really dramatic scenes in it. And if you don't want to be funny, you must be dramatic. And I really hate Sonic's voice. He sounds like a teenager.
Funny that, because Sonic the Hedgehog
is like 16.
Canonically, a teenager. So I think what Paulinho's got a problem with is just Sonic.
Probably.
Which is a shame. Boudoun in 2010 gave it 0 stars and said, trop bien. Ce film mérite 20 sur 20 car les trois hérissons et puis la fusion c'est comme Goku versus Freezer, transformation en Shadik et ultimate Nazo. Yeah. I don't really know what that means. I haven't done French since I was about 10. But
I think what he's saying is that the that it reminds him of Goku versus Frieza.
Yes.
And that he likes the transformation of Sonic and Shadow into Shadik.
Yeah.
And he likes Ultimate Nazo.
Yeah, and he said that the film merits 20 out of 20.
Yes.
And then gave it 0 stars. Which proves that the Newgrounds curse is not unique to the Anglophone world. Merci beaucoup.
Yeah. Très bien.
Sorry to any French listeners.
Yeah.
But I had to.
You had to.
And, yeah, that's Nazo Unleashed.
That's Nazo Unleashed.
It's
fucking brilliant.
I mean, to go back to the French, it is a tour de force.
It really is.
And I am happier knowing that it exists in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you, Daniel, for bringing that to our attention. Like, genuinely, thank
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, we have one more that we're going to get to. And this is going to be shorter, but it is also, again, part of our shared cultural history, for better or worse, as people who are from the internet. HT, previous guests, wrote in. HT was our guest on the Homestar Runner special,
mm-hmm.
and you should go and listen to that, because it was very fun.
It was very fun, yeah.
HT wrote in and said, my God, I remember exactly what my first Flash animation was. Once we set up our first email address, my mum's co-worker sent us a link to test it out. The link was a Flash animation called Oops, I Farted Again, a parody of the Britney Spears song Oops, I Did It Again. The image of a weirdly drawn chihuahua floating from the bottom of the screen is seared into my brain whenever anyone talks about early Flash. I watched 30 seconds of it before writing in, and I had to stop because it made me incredibly uncomfortable. It seriously feels like it was made by someone with a fetish. Here is the link, and I am sorry.
It probably was, let's be honest.
Well, HT, we're about to find out as we brace ourselves for Oops, I Farted Again. Well, that exists, and we have to live with that fact.
I wish it didn't.
It's so bad.
That is absolutely made with someone that's got a fart fetish.
You think so?
Come on.
I don't know if that would make it better or worse. Knowing that that was for someone's sexual gratification. Either way, it's just not good or funny. You laughed once.
No, I didn't.
You did. At least you made a laugh-like noise when she said that she ate asparagus.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Because it was like maybe the only slight... It felt like the only thing that maybe had a slight thought put into it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Maybe.
So the joke is, it's Oops, I Did It Again, but the lyrics are about farting and about loving to fart and wishing that she could fart more. And there are a bunch of fart noises and explosion sprites.
I feel like this is the kind of thing that would make Weird Al regret his career decisions.
This is exactly like... This is an idea that Weird Al Yankovic would have once, shrug, and move on.
Yes, probably. Yeah.
It is absolute lowest possible effort. Like this is sub-Logan Paul levels of effort. Should we talk about the animation itself?
It's bad.
It's really ugly.
It's really ugly. most of it is like, there are like 2 frames of animation to most of it.
Yeah, so it's all...
Or tweened.
Rotoscoped, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it looks like stills from the video that have been converted into Flash and drawn over.
Hmm. Yep, probably.
And while that might have looked good at some point in the past, it definitely doesn't now.
I don't think that's looked good at any point in history.
And the dog that HT mentioned does pop up and looks horrible. And I can see that really upsetting a child.
The whole thing's just upsetting.
It is. It seems to come from a very generic kind of, especially 90s, parody culture, mm-hmm. where the joke was, what if popular thing but bathroom humor or violence?
So South Park?
Kind of. I mean, this is sub South Park, let's be honest.
Yeah, no.
South Park fart jokes were cream of the crop.
Oh, yeah. I've said this several times, and, like, if you don't laugh at a good fart joke, you are dead inside.
Yes.
But this wasn't funny.
Yeah, this was not a... none of these are good fart jokes. The only part of this I enjoyed was the idea of, like, Britney Spears' producer or roadie or whatever coming up to her wearing a full hazmat suit. That amused me. That's it.
Yeah, he offered her Beano?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what Beano is.
Must be some kind of... something for... If you've got...
Indigestion,
yeah.
I don't know. God, no, this fucking sucks.
This sucks a lot.
Like, HT's mother's co-worker, I mean, like, maybe this is what was funny in like, 2000.
Yeah, it kind of does feel like the kind of thing that would circulate within...
Like an office.
Within an office full of middle-aged people in the 1990s, you know, late 1990s.
This would be on someone's, Lycos search history alongside Frog in a Blender from last episode.
Yep.
Because I think this comes from the same kind of place, humor-wise.
Yeah.
And...
It only feels about a couple steps up from, like an animated, like, greeting card that you get in an email, you know? Like...
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. So, let's do a brief Flash. And, yeah, so this is made by zthing.com, which no longer exists, but I was able to find it using the Wayback Machine.
Oh, that's a
shame. I had to go all the way back to, like, pre-2004 to find a version of the site that worked. But even then, Zthing was around from the mid-90s. And they advertised that you can see, we're looking at the front page right now, and it does have a link to Oops, I Farted Again on the main page, as long as cartoons like... Peg the Backstreet Boys, because, you know, the Backstreet Boys were also a thing.
Yeah.
There's one called Bush's Defense, which is about, good which grief. Is a comedy George W. Bush thing. There's a failed MTV shows cartoon. It is just the low effort pop culture id of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
It's painfully dated. You can click around bits of the site, and it's basically there's no way I was not able to find out anything about the creators of this. I don't even know who sang the song. Not really. It's all credited to just general Z things. But they advertise on the website that they were able to make a custom Z thing for you. So basically, they would do like greetings or like comedy presentations for you and your workspace.
I was kind of right then.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, and like, it's...
What happens when you click on company? Does it just not work?
No, if you click on company, it brings up stuff like about us and services they offer.
But it doesn't say who they are.
No. If you click about us, it goes to a comedy page where they say that they're space aliens called the Schmorfuglians.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, right?
Cool.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not interest. It's interesting from an archaeological point of view. In the
it's definitely a fossil.
Yeah, basically, and this sucks. But for better or worse, a lot of Z-Thing Flash animations and games are archived on the Wayback Machine, and we might end up coming to them again just for that hit of mediocrity. But thank you, HT, for bringing this to our attention. By which I mean no thank you.
No thanks. No.
I know, right? We do have a couple of comments from the Newgrounds page.
Okay.
And
oh no.
And they are from 2001. Do you want to start us off?
Snowchick 1615 from 2001. Ha! This was so funny. A must-see for Britney haters.
Mm-hmm. And Poop on a Stick said, this is the funniest Portal entry I have ever seen. I couldn't stop laughing for an hour. You gotta send this one to all your friends. Whoever made this is a humor god. And if you didn't like this, you're a lame pervert.
There are some interesting mental gymnastics going on there.
Look, just... Here's a little disclaimer. Just because you don't want to see a badly rotoscoped Britney Spears farting metal slug explosions for 3 solid minutes doesn't mean you're a sexual deviant. I mean, both of us are, absolutely, but, like, this isn't our jam.
not even slightly.
No. You've got stuff like Pyro Pimp saying... Mm-hmm. Oh man, why the hell are there so many fucking awesome and hilarious music videos gracing the portal recently? And it's incredible how you can get the Who video within 509k. This is half a megabyte.
Doesn't seem like it should be.
Yeah, the portal must have been blessed by some unknown divine force lately.
Obviously. Russian Dog in 2000 said, you rock! This is the best music video ever I seen. You the bomb, man. Oops. I farted again. People found this review helpful.
Did they? Why? But so the reason I wanted to go into the comments is that was the consensus when this came out.
Okay.
The Great Catherine in 2014 revisited this, and the Great Catherine has like an interesting piece of insight here.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read the whole comment. Mm-hmm. And she said, I remember this. My mum was basically my introduction to Flash movies and games, as she would show me websites like Z-Thing and Nick.com all the time. I would discover Newgrounds shortly after. I guess I have her to thank for that. In fact, if I recall correctly, this was one of the first Flash movies I ever saw. Back then, I thought this was hilarious. I would watch it over and over again with my older sister, and we would just laugh our asses off for hours on end. But of course, this thing hasn't aged very well. It's obvious that there was effort put into it, but the humor has really gotten stale. To be specific, I don't really laugh at fart and shit jokes anymore. Although I'm sure that little kids get a huge kick out of stuff like this, just as I did when I was young. But the humor isn't the only thing that's aged. The animation, while fairly good for its time, looks horrible now. And the sound quality is questionable. The whole thing is just lacking these days. That being said, I can't bring myself to score this any lower than 3 out of 5. At the time it was released, I'm sure that this was one of the funniest things ever to many kids and even some teens. I'm not saying that the concept for the video is particularly clever or even that funny, but there was effort put into this, and I have to give you credit for that. In the end, this is one of many nostalgic pieces that's just kind of lost its luster. It's still a nice thing to look back on, but it hasn't aged very well at all.
Pretty much hits the nail on the head.
Yeah, the Great Catherine has put it better than we could, I think.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's of its time.
It's very of its time. But so, I don't get people like, oh, it's the best thing ever. So, but like I said, Weird Al did this stuff, and he did it way better, and it was all over MTV, like, before this came out.
Mm-hmm. But then Weird Al very rarely went for the obvious shit and fart jokes.
Which is why people remember him.
But yeah, so I believe that's going to take us to the end of our foray into your first Flash animations.
Yeah.
It's been a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's, but generally, we've had a good time.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think we've kind of explored a lot of the different highs and lows and a lot of the different themes of, you know, Flash animation as a medium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we have you, the listeners, to thank for that.
Thank you very much.
Like, seriously, thank you.
Yeah.
If you have any other things to recommend us, if you want to share your first Flash stories, or even just write in to tell us about what your favorite cacti are, then you can do that at flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, you can find all of our episodes and the videos we talked about at flashinthepancast.com. Or on Twitter at @FlashItPancast. That's Flash IT Pancast. Alex, where can people find you?
You can complain about my awful Yorkshire accent at twitter.com/deck01. I make my own music.
Does your music contain a lot of fart noises?
No.
So, okay.
No, I haven't quite got there yet.
Sure.
I mean, to be honest, I probably farted during recording some of it. That's
okay.
Probably happened because I've made quite a lot of music, but I couldn't tell.
Well,
you.
Then just the law of averages means that
the law of averages that in the middle of like one guitar take, I probably farted.
Right.
But no fart sounds are present in the music itself.
Okay.
Which is just, you know,
a courtesy, really.
Yeah. My music lives alexvalentine.bandcamp.com, and I've made a lot of let's play videos at youtube.com/VNDLP.
And you can find me, as ever, at Gertrude Perkins on Twitter. That's at Gertrude, P-R-K-N-S. You can find a joke account at non-articles for papers I'll never write. And you can find my semi-dormant blog at mediagluttony.wordpress.com. So until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And remember, chaos control!
Excellent. Plan this piece of crap. Flash in the past!